Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf nun gimel. We're holding 5-6 lines from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara says in the middle of the line, the kama kolshu. How much is a kolshu? What is the Gemara referring to? Back in the Mishnah that we learned back on Mem Beis Amud Aleph, when we were talking about Cheskas Kinyan. Remember yesterday in the Gemara distinguished between Cheskas Raya and Cheskas Kinyan. Cheskas Raya takes 3 years by Karkois, by Sodois, by Batim, etc. But when you're doing a Cheskas Kinyan, you don't wait 3 years. You have to just do a Noal Godar Uporatz Kolshu. Some small tikkun in this property, which identifies you as being the new owner of this property. So the Gemara wants to know, what is this kolshu? How do you define the kama kolshu? Says the Gemara Kiddushmul, with 6 lines from the top of the Yom Kiddushmul, the Yom Shmul, Godar Geder, the Shlima Lazara, there was previously a Geder, and now the new owner has been mashlimit to 10. In other words, the suggestion is that until now it was only 8 or 9, and he made it now 10. Or Paritz Pirza Kadeshi Konis Vietziba, he made a new opening into the fence or into the wall surrounding the field, surrounding the property. So now you're able to get in and out. Harizu Chazaka, this is called a Chazaka. Good, this is what Shmuel said. But now again the Gemara is asking, how do you define the words kosher? It's Hai Geder Hechidami. When Shmuel said that you take the Geder and you make it into 10 Tvachim tall, what did he mean? He lived in Meikar Lo Yhava Salki Lo. Vahashinami Lo Salki Lo. Was this fence, although it was only 8 or 9 Tvachim tall, was it the type of gather, the type of fence that you weren't able to get into the property anyway? Why couldn't you get into the property after all? I'm sorry?
A Mexican wall,
but it's only 8 or 9 Tvachim. The Mexican wall presumably is going to be a little
bit
taller.
Beautiful wall.
Yeah. It's going to make America great again. But remember, that's going to be a $50 billion wall. Here we're talking about a small wallachal, a small little ventil. So now the question is, if you're going to tell me to make currently have a salkila, that already with this short fence of only 8 or 9 Tvachim, people were not able to get into the field, and you're thinking to yourself, if it's only 8 or 9 Tvachim, it's not that difficult to get over the wall. Exactly. Says the Rishbam, it's talking about a situation where the fence was built bishipua or ba'alachson, a mokem madrein. In other words, it wasn't a straight fence, a straight vertical fence. It was built at a slant, and it was built at a slant in such a way that it was impossible to have the salkula, you couldn't get into the property. Vahashinami, and now when he added to it and made it into a taller fence, also leisalkila, also you cannot get into the property. So what has he accomplished? If before you couldn't get in, and now you can't get in, so he hasn't added anything. It's not that he's added a kolshu. Even though physically he may have added a kolshu, but if functionally, that's the word I was looking for, urishkayach. If functionally you couldn't get in, and now you can't get in, so what has he accomplished? He hasn't done anything. So you're going to tell me that since it was a short fence of 8 or 9, you were able to get in. Vahashta, now that he's made it 10 or taller, lois alkila, he's not able to get in. So freitimar tuvavetz, and then he really did a lot. Perhaps the difference between 9 and 10 was only a mashu, but for purposes of the kinyan, we don't measure it in the... I'm sorry?
It was decisive.
It was decisive. After all, the whole purpose of building a fence or a wall is to prevent people or animals to get into somebody's property. That being the case, if until now you could get into the property, and now you cannot get into the property, so that's the best wall. You don't have to a Mexican wall of 100 feet tall, as long as you can't get in. So this Haishish Kokoshu, he made a real fence, a real wall. Previously, you were able to get into the property easily. Maybe it was only 3 tvachim tall, so you could just easily just walk into it, walk over it. Now it's much more difficult. It's not impossible to get in, but it's much more difficult to get in. So therefore, since it's not the type of wall which is a Mexican wall that prevents trespassers, but it does a pretty good job, because to get in, you really have to exert yourself with tremendous energy, etc. So that's what the Gemara means, that that's a no'al kol shehu. A god, I shouldn't say no'al, godar kol shehu. That he made a bisalit. It's not a foolproof, totally airtight, sealed wall, but a kol shehu, he has accomplished a good deal, that it's no longer b'davcha, now it's b'davcha. But the Mishnah also uses the expression of Poratz Koshu. And Shmuel said Poratz means Pirtza Kideshi Konis V'yetziba. That's also Chazak. And the Gemara asks the same Kasha Nachmul. Hi, second, same Shal Nachmul. Hi, Pirtza Echidami. When we're saying that he was able to make a new opening into the fence, if you're telling me that previously he could go through the hole, and what he has done is he expanded the hole, and you can continue going through the hole in the fence or in the wall, so my obvious, he hasn't really accomplished anything. If before you could go, and now you can go, so what's the difference? Previously you weren't able to get through this fence because there were no holes whatsoever. The Hashtag Ailiba, and now he made, although it's a small fence, but Lamaisa you can get in now. So then he's made a very effective opening to this wall. It may not be a giant opening, maybe not as big as Oig Melech Habushan, but it's big enough that people can get in. So therefore he may not chakoshu. He tuvov at the good gemacht. As Lloyd Tzrich, the Gemara gives basically the same territory. Before, the Meikor have a Eili Bo B'Doichka. Previously, yes, there was a small Pesach, but you had to squeeze yourself, especially if you were a bit stout. You had to go and squeeze yourself to be able to get through the door. V'ashta Eili Bo B'Ravcha, now Baruch Hashem, Rebach V'Atzol Yam Ela Yehudim, Me'mokim Acher, by adding now to the place, now it's like a Mokim Acher, Domi, it's now it's a big opening, it's easy to get in. Oh, just like the pizza, Kol Shehu. And now Gemara only talks about the Godar Uporat. Gemara doesn't talk about the No'al part. And there the Rishbam says basically the same shot. Because the Mishnah says No'al Godar Uporat Kol Shehu. We didn't define what the No'al Kol Shehu. So if you want to look at the Rishbam, the fourth wide line, all the way on the bottom, fourth wide line, towards the end of the line, it's immediately after the line that says V'hashta ka'ayli lo b'ravcha. Skip a line, next line. I have a dot in my Gemara. V'gabi no'al koshu, nami ikla furushi ki agamni. You can explain it the same way. Shistam pesach stima koshu. D'me'ikora ayli lo b'ravcha. I'm sorry. Shisosam pesach stima koshu. That he closed it up. No'al is from Lashon of manu, to go and seal, to go and close, to lock. So he did a stima koshu. Previously you were able to get into this property easily, and now it's much more difficult. So therefore the no'al is similar to the godar, that in both cases previously you could get in easily, and now we made it much more difficult. So therefore it's not impossible. That's why, because it would be impossible, it wouldn't be a kosher, it would be a real good no'al u'godar. But now, because it's much more difficult, those are the kosher. In Amishakova Manul Bedelis Linalboy, previously there was no lock on the door, now he put a lock on it. The Hainu Binyan, he made a binyan, a new lock. Avo, but it's Sogras Adelis Vinolba Mafech. What happens if, in fact, there was a door and he locked the door, Vinolba Mafech, and with the key he locked it? Benichse Ger in a chazaka. This will not be a chazaka. Ah, he locked the door. Einzela oisem mas mitzvah lishmar beis chaveri umavriach ari menichse chaveri hukir kamon bishmait. The Gemara is going to tell us in another few lines is that even if you've done something very effective, if however the effectiveness of this is not to establish a kinyan, but rather to go and be of great assistance to the current owner, that doesn't show that you are now a machzik in this property. It just shows that you're a good fellow Jew, that you're doing what you're supposed to do. So for instance, if you see somebody else's fence and wall where the door is all the way open, so that anybody and anything can get in and out, and you go over and you close it nicely and you lock it in such a way that trespassers cannot get in and the animals cannot get in, you're a great guy. That doesn't show that you own the property. It shows that you are caring for your fellow Jew in worrying about his assets, about his property.
In case of a Ger, who obviously passed away, there's no chavero alive to be lishmer for.
That's true. The point is, that's not a chazak in mechaski inchi. Your action that you did is not the type of action that shows ownership. It's the type of action
it shows neighborly care.
Exactly right. It shows a hava achva shalom bereus, that you care about other people to the point that you're willing to exert time and energy to go and help somebody else.
Except though, in the case of nechse hager, because it's hefter, why are we defining it in terms of general activity of closing and sealing an open door? Mm-hmm. In the case of all cases where there is hefker property to be machzik and to be kona,
no.
Such an action should be deemed to be a kinyan. Why are we redefining? We could look at it the other way and say, yes, in the case of hefker, you close it. It's a way of acquiring it.
The reason why the Gemara is focusing on Nechse Ger is because that was in our Mishnah. V'machzim Nechse Ger, no go padar kolishu harizu chazaka. What our Gemara is telling us is the type of Ne'ila Gedira Upirza, which is the type that shows ownership, that you are attempting to go and own this property. If you do such a valid action, which is kinemachaski inchi, then you have established an effective chazaka. If you do the type of action that people will look upon as being something which is a neighborly caring individual, but not as a form of trying to establish ownership, then in such a situation you would not establish ownership. You would only get a big shkoyach from everybody saying, oh, what a nice person this is, that he goes and devotes his time and his efforts to helping out other individuals. Even though this property happens to be hefker, that's true, but it's not a chazakin chazakinchi. Let's look at the next Gemara, and hopefully it will become a little bit clearer, because the Gemara is going to go and give that example that we're talking about of helping out others. In Jokti Gemara yet, Omer Abasi Omer Abyeichanan, Nosan Tzror V'hoyil, not al tzror v'hoyil, harizeh chazaka. You're talking about that there was a fence, and the fence or the wall, either nosan tzror, he filled up a gap in the wall or in the fence by putting in a tzror, by putting in a rock, a pebble, or whatever. V'hoyil, there was a Dutch boy, right, that did that many years ago and put in something. Yeah, exactly. It's like I'm selection over there now. Okay, anyway. So, nosan tzror v'hoyil, and it helped. Not al tzror, or if he took out such a pebble, such a rock from the wall, v'hoyu, and it helped, harizeh chazaka. The Feit Yimara, my nosa, my notal. What do you mean that he put one in, he took it out, it helped? Well, what are you talking about? Ilema nosan tzror, the socher maya mina, meaning there was a flood, and that flood was going to flood Yankel's property. And someone went by and saw how the flood is about to enter the property, and he sees that there is a hole in the dike or a hole in the wall. So what does he do? He immediately plugs it up by putting in a nice rock, a nice stone, and guess what happens? Baruch Hashem, the property of Yankel remains totally dry. That was Nosan Tzror, the Socher Maimina. Socher means to go and dam it, to stuff it up, and to plug it up, not to allow water to enter. Or the other way around. What happens if Yankel's field is already flooded and leaving the flood water there is going to ruin the property? And the reason why the water doesn't drain is because, unfortunately, the drain is all stopped up with all types of stones and schmutz and rubbish, or because of the wall that is a Mexican wall and it's making America great again, but it's not making that field great again. So what did he do? Nototzror, he pulled out one of the stones and caused it now to be a brand new drain. Vaping Maimina. And now all the water is running out. Ah, Machai. Now I might have thought that this is the pshat in establishing a chazok in this property. Says Gemara, no. Hay mavriach arim nechse chaverihu. All he has done over here is not to improve the property, but not to allow the property to get ruined. And that's a nice thing, Rabbi say. He deserves to get mafter yoina even middle of the year because of the wonderful thing that he did. However, the point is, this is not establishing that he is the owner of this property. It only shows that he is a caring individual, that he wants to make sure that somebody else's property doesn't get ruined. And even though this property may even be a hefker property of Nechse Hager. But the point is, this does not establish, this does not show by his action that he is establishing a chazaka. What it shows by his actions is, and this is what a caring individual would do when he sees such a flood situation. So that being the case, and then it's not a kinyan. So Ibazoi, so what did the Gemara mean? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Nosan Tzror, Notel Tzror, Harizu Chazaka. El, it's the other way around. El Nosan Tzror, the Tzamad Lamaya, not al tzoror ba'arvach lamay. It's talking about a dry field that needed a lot of water. And Baruch Hashem, this field got a lot of water, but the problem is that the water is quickly draining from the property and it's not staying there, and therefore it's not enriching and making the property moist the way the an owner would want it to be moist. So what did he do with Nosan Tsrar? He put in a tsrar into the wall, the Tamalamai, to keep the water in so that the water would not drain, but that the water would stay there. Or the other way around. This property was right next to a river, next to a ditch, and water normally would have flowed into the property, but the problem was that there was a fence with a Mexican wall there that didn't allow the water to come in. So Notel Tzoror, he pulled out a stone or a pebble, and now Baruch Hashem, there's much more room, and now the water is coming in, and is making the field moist and gevaldik. Now, this is not the type of thing that you have to do to be Mavriacharim. Mavriacharim is if there's a danger to the property, and you are taking away the danger. If I have a property that is being flooded or is in danger of being flooded, then I'm Mavri Chari if I save the property from being flooded. But I don't have a chiv to go improve other people's property. If the other person is not vigilant about his own property, that's his problem. So by going and adding a pebble, or taking out a pebble, and doing something that normally a caring individual would not be required to do and certainly not obligated to do, and I do it, that is showing that I'm a chazik and a chazki inchi because I am improving a property, not just being mavriach ari, taking away the potential danger looming on this property. We had Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan, so we say another memra. A person again wants to go and be machzik in property, and we're talking about the nechsi hager, and he wants to be machzik. Shtei sodois u'meitzer echa b'nehem. A ger owned two fields, and there was one meitzer, one border, one boundary in between the two fields. Typically, as Rashbam points out, as we had before, the meitzer was usually elevated, so you could tell as like a line of demarcation between property A and property B. But here, both properties belong to the same individual, but there was a meitzer in between. And hechzik b'achas mehen. And he made a chazak only in one of them. What was the chazakah? Like we just said now. He made the Noel Godel Paratz, or he made a, Rashbam says, Rofek Baporta, means he did a little bit of hoeing on this property. So now it depends, what did he have in mind when he did the hoeing? If he had in mind Liknoisa, to be koina this property, the two properties A and B, he was Rofek Baporta in property A, and he had in mind to be koina property A, Kona, that was effective because he did something small to show ownership of the property. However, when Amzik Liknois Oisov Yeschaverta, he had in mind to be Koina both A and B. What's the halacha? Oisakona Chaverta Likona. He was Koina the first one, but not the second one. Why? Because he had the Meitzer in between. Liknois Yeschaverta, he only had in mind to be Koina B. He's making the Rafik Baporta in A. He's having in mind to be Koina B. He's not koina anything, because you cannot be koina the property in which you're making a chazaka if you're not mechaven to a chazaka. It's as if you go here in the park and you start hoeing in one of the twice in the park land. If you don't have in mind to make a chazaka, and even if you do have in mind, it's not yours. You're not allowed to do that. But the point is that hoeing alone doesn't cause a chazaka. It's only if you're mechaven to go and be koina with it. So here the person was mechaven to be koina karka B, but he was doing the Kenyan in Karka A. So therefore, obviously, Kona is not Kona anything. Boy, Rav Zeira, what happens, Echzik be'achas mehen, liknois oisov v'esameit v'eschaver tamahu. What happens is, b'shas, and he was hoeing in property A. He had in mind A, plus the meter, plus property B. What happens at this time, mahu? Mi amrina meter di'ara chadu v'koni. What does he want to mean, meter di'ara chadu? Explains Rishbam. Every meter is really servicing both properties. It's both the meitzer of property A as the and it's the meitzer of property B. And therefore, if a person had in mind to be koina property A and the meitzer, that would work. Because the meitzer is a subset, if you will. It's part of the property of property A. But once he's having in mind the property A plus the meitzer also has the meitzer for property B. So therefore, he wants to be koina all three at the same time, just by doing one hoeing in property A. Because since the meitzar is part and parcel of property A, okay, So I can be koina A together with a meitzer. And since meitzer is part of property B, so therefore I can be koina the meitzer plus property B. That's one side of the abaye. There is a meitzer in between, and the purpose of the meitzer is to identify each property as being a separate field, a separate property. So therefore, even mit the alashena kavanas that I want to be A, mit the meitzer, mit B. Maybe I'm only kind of A after all. So the more take, the more is not pushing the shala, tishbi, yitaitz.
It seems very obvious.
Yeah, you see that in the first maimar of Rabbi Asa and Rabbi Yochanan. If you're kone, if you're holding your property A, you cannot be kone in property B. That settles the question because it's a separate stuff. How does the intention? Because in all cases you're doing the same action, and it's not defined by his action. I mean, machshava nikar mitoch maitza. He's holding the property as hefker. He wants to be kone as much as possible.
And therefore,
he should be kone only A, and that's it. Just like Rav Asi and Rabbi Yochanan said. Why is
what's it? You says that he should be kone as much as possible.
And since we're limiting him only to property A, because his little bit of hoeing is only effective in property A, because that's how people are kone something only in the local meets and bounds of where they're acting, then too bad he can't be kone the maitzer or property.
And that's the whole point of the maitzer is
to limit the power.
So that, in fact, that's the second side.
Rabbi Yochanan said it. So why is there a taking? We just answered it, now we're posing it as a question.
Would you like to say something, Uri, or you're speechless?
I have an answer.
Hello, Mate.
The difference says, since one boundary wall serves both fields, you go one field, it's both fields. It's one boundary wall for both fields.
Right.
The Benegarshim, fourth line. Hoyol, a meitzer, oyol, shtehen, so the achasam. It's one boundary wall.
So because the boundary wall services both fields, and you have in mind the boundary,
it's both. But we already said, the Rabbi said, and Rabbi Yochanan, I think, is a lens from Zera, or is an authority to answer of Zera. We already said, the only corner property A. Why is this a thank you? I understand, you know, okay, there's a question, here's the answer. I'm Rav Asi, Rabbi Yochanan, he's going to property A. Why is it a taku, is my question.
Rabbi Yochanan said three halachas. A person had property A, Meitzer and property B.
Right.
He only did hoeing in property A.
Right.
If he was only mechaven in A, he only gets A. If he's only mechaven property B, he doesn't get B and he doesn't get A.
Right.
If he's mechaven both in property A and property B, he only gets A, he doesn't get B.
Okay.
Why not? Because you have the mates in between.
Right.
So even though he was mechaven for property B, A and B are two different properties, it doesn't help.
And the Meitzer doesn't, even though the Meitzer is there to service A and B,
it doesn't matter. Now Reb Zeira says,
come on, let's try to. Didn't work.
Reb Zeira says, now he wasn't mechaven to A plus B. He was mechaven to A plus the meitzer plus B. Therefore, he wants to merge all the properties and make it as one big property, and I want to be your koina in all three.
Okay.
So why should that be any different? Points out Mendi v'shem Rabbeinu Gershom, and it says the same thing in Rishbam in slightly different words, because meitzer is automatically part and parcel of the original property A. People normally don't buy meitzers. They buy property A, and then they have the meitzer next to it. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, we had back in the first parak that the meitzer was 50% allocated from property A and 50% from property B. Exactly. The pay for mitzvah warm, but they got
some.
So here we go. So let's just finish the tariff, and then afterwards you'll ask your next question. So the point is, when he had in mind for property A and the meitzer, that everybody would agree that would work, because the meitzer is part and parcel of property, at least 50% of it. Once I'm coined the meitzer, that meitzer, as Mendy already pointed out for Rebbe Gershom, and Rashbam says the same thing, that meitzer serves both properties. So therefore I'm being now coined property A, property meitzer. Meitzer is part of property B as well. So then maybe I can be koina A plus meitzer plus B, because the meitzer joins the two. It's not only that the meitzer goes and divides the two, but also joins the two, because the meitzer is slightly from A and slightly from B. And therefore, let's see the Rishbam. Boy Reb Zeira, Hechzik. Rishbam is about a little bit past halfway down the Omud. Boy Reb Zeira, Hechzik, Be'achas, Be'hem, Likbois, Oysa, V'ha, Me'eitzer. Mi Leima, Haidra, Reb Yechon, Leikona, Do we say that, when did Rabbi Yochanan say you're not koina B when you're making a chazaka in A, Hayne Mishim Shalun is kaven lahachzik b'meitza, because in Rabbi Yochanan's case it doesn't say anything about having kavana to be mafzik the meitza, v'kimin shu mafzik, and since the meitza is mafzik between A and B, so the hoeing in A is not going to help B because I have that meitzer which divides in between.
So in this
kavanah,
this
point. 1 second, let's finish the Rishba. He wants to be koina not only A, but the meitzer as well. My miyamrin and high meitzer the high. Arosh hechzik bo, who this meter is of the land in which he is being machzik, the kona gamma meter, and therefore he's koida through the hoeing, not only the ara, but also the meter. Udahai ara shall meter sheni gamu. He shall meter sheni is a little bit different. He says shall meter shol sheni. He says the high ara shall meter shol sheni gamu. This meter belongs not only to property A owner, but also property B owner, because the meitzer belongs to both of them. And therefore, the negamoisa, since I'm already being koina A, and I'm being koina A and a half, the meitzer in between,
A plus,
and maybe that now extends into B, because A plus belongs to B as well. It's B minus. It's A plus and B plus, it belongs to both of them. So therefore, since I'm koina A, and I'm koina the plus, so maybe I can go and add on now the other property. The point is, you're asking why is Rabbi Zeira different than Rabbi Yochanan? Because in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, this person was mechaven to go and be koina A plus B, but the Meitzer says you can't be mechaven A plus B because I'm hoeing only an A, and there's this line of demarcation in between. The two do not combine together. Says Rabbi Zeira, that's maybe only because he didn't want to be koina the Meitzer. But if he wanted to go koina the Meitzer, then
how did he not want to be koina the Meitzer? I guess there's a question.
He didn't say that he wasn't mechamen. That's all the question is kavana.
Hold on.
I'm holding.
Hold on. The person's not saying anything. He's not declaring. He's acting. The whole point of the chazak is not what you're saying, it's what you're doing. He's acting. He's holding in property.
It's also kavana.
It has to be kavana.
He clearly wants to be koina B. You know, from Rabbi Yochanan said, he's trying to be koina B.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's his mindset regarding the Meitzer in Rabbi Yochanan's case?
Mm-hmm.
He's ignoring it. It exists there. It's there as he's koina in B, he's being koina in the Meitzer portion, in B's port, chanuk in the Meitzer. And if he's being koina in A, he's being koina in A's portion in the Meitzer. Why are we ignoring the Meitzer in Rabbi Yochanan? So my question now is not on Rabbi Zeira, it's about the fact pattern according to Rabbi Yochanan.
Uh-huh.
What's the...
So we're moving up in because you said Rabbi Zeira is nothing compared to...
Not the Rashbam's explained Rabbi Zeira, but what is the mindset of the person which is ineffective in the case presented by Rav Asi or Rav Yochanan, that he cannot be koina B when he has in mind to be koina B by hoeing an A? I mean, the Meitzer is there. Maybe he doesn't have at least a kinyan chatzar on the Meitzer. If he's koina in A and he's koina in B, isn't he koina everything in between? It feels like it doesn't make sense why we're limiting him in the case of Rabbi Rav Yochanan, and we even have a question in the case of Rav Zera.
Perhaps the reason why your mindset is such that you're all concerned about this is because there's another famous Gemara that we're going to learn in Mi'at Hashem b'Moiches Abayis, that if one person sold to somebody else 10 separate fields, and he says, okay, lechazeku kni, now make a chazaka,
yeah,
and he did a rofak baporta in one of the 10 fields,
right,
he's koina all 10.
The Shmuel says the whole world is all connected.
Sadna de arachadu, everything is connected.
The Shmuel says that, right.
You're 100% right. Now the question is, why don't we say the same thing over here?
Correct.
So the Rishbam asks that question. And the Rishbam says the reason is over there is because we have a mocher and a lokeach, and we have an exchange of funds. And therefore, number one, the fact that there's a moicher, he is makne to the lekeach. So when the lekeach makes his kinyan, he has the improved benefit of the moicher going along with him and adding his blessing and his authority and his approval.
Transmitting it,
very good. And number two, he's also paying money. And therefore, when you're paying money, you can tell that the money is not just for one property, but for lots of properties. So when he says, I'm a mechaven now in Rafik Baporta in one, I can go and use the Svar of Sadna the Arachadu to be koina all 10. But here you're talking about a Nechsi Ager, where unfortunately the Ger is no longer to be Makna. There is also no money changing hands. So the only thing that he's doing is this Rafik Baporta. So now the question is, how effective is this Rafik Baporta? What Rabbi Yochanan tells us is, it's only effective for the property in which you are working. If you are Rafik Baporta, property A, it does not help for property B. If you're doing it in B, it doesn't help for A. Even if you're mechamen in A for both A and B, your kavana does not help because it's two separate properties because there's a meitzer in between. Says Reb Zeira, that's only if I have in mind A and B. But if I have in mind A plus the meitzer plus B, meaning that this person in his mind, in his terms of what he's being mechamen, he's mechamen for all the two as one big property, and this is not ridiculous because the meitzer is not only a separation of the properties. The meitzer is also bottled to each property because each property owns a shtickel meitzer. So therefore, if he has in mind all three together, A plus meitzer plus B, maybe we should deem that to be one property and ignore the fact that there's this physical obstruction called a meitzer, and therefore he should be coin everything. Or maybe no, because the meitzer is the meitzer is the meitzer, and you can't take it away, and therefore it's two properties no matter what sophisticated logical explanation you want to give to it, but still it's two separate properties, and therefore you have the erotic board to end both. So the marteiko is this should be attached.
So there's a question with more hefker and being back coin signs from hefker, and there's a question in chazaka. Because the chazaka would work if you had a mocher and okeah.
Yes.
So you're saying it's
that's correct.
The weakness, it's the weakness in the institution of the kohen from hefker.
Okay. Good. It's by Reb Loza. So Reb Loza now asks the mirror image type of question. What size mirror image? Hechzik b'meitzah. He wasn't machzik in the two properties A or B, but only in the meitzah. Likmishtein he had in mind. I don't want. What do I need a meitzah for? I am coin of the border because I want A and I want B. The meitzah I leave for Barry, but I want the A and the B. I want for myself. The question is, can he be coin? I'm in a meitzah because that's he's asking. In a meitzah, can I go and be coin of the two? So what's the shayla? Mao. The word afsar is a borrowed term. Afsar means the reins. And just like when you want to be koine behema, you don't have to go and
pull the reins.
Exactly. You don't have to go and pull the nose of the animal or the horn of the animal or the mouth or whatever. All you have to do is pull the reins. So maybe the meitzah is also considered to be like the reins of the two properties, because in a sense it's, you know, it's in, helps it, it obstructs it, identifies, etc. Maybe it's afsar. No. Still, these are two separate properties. You can go and be a sophisticated, mid-logical, mid-reasonable, it's not the reins of the property, because you cannot go and schlep either property by pulling on the reins and by pulling on the meitzer. It's take the more obliged nochum with anybody. What happens if you have two batim, two houses, one inside the other house? When he says one inside the other house, it means that the egress, the entranceway and the exiting to the pnimi is you have to go through the chitzayin. It's one of the, what they used to call them, railroad apartment. Railroad apartment that you couldn't get from one room into a hallway or to the outside. You have to go from one room into another room to be able to get out. So if you had two rooms, two bedrooms, for instance, one next to each other, it would be problematic. You'd have to walk from the innermost bedroom to go through the outermost bedroom to be able to get out to the hall or to the bathroom or to the door or whatever. So this is Shnei Batim Zelif Namizah. So you have two rooms or two houses, one which was more inside than the other, and now he wants to be koina or the inside or the outside or both. And that's the Gemara is talking about. Hechzei b'chitzai, liknoi soy. He is only machzik in the outer house, which is has free egress back and forth to the Rosh Hashanah, and there or to a chotzer or to a simta or whatever. In other words, that it has access to the public. Hechzik b'chitzai liknoi soy. Come on, he was kind of. Liknoi soy zivies apanimi. If he wants to be kind of both the outward, the outside one, and the inside one, chitzin kana, the outside one, he was kind of panimi like kana because he doesn't have any shaychus to the panimi. The chitzin doesn't have a right of way onto the property of the panimi. If anything, once he goes into panimi, the panimi says, "Hey, get out of here! What are you doing on my property?" So therefore, he's not kind of the panimi. Likness is a panimi. If when he's doing a maisa chazaka in the chitzin, he only has in mind the panimi. Af chitzin amal kana, he wouldn't be kind of the chitzin either. Goodish, because the panimi and chitzin are two separate entities. However, the other way around. Hechzik v'pnimi liknoi soy. He wants to be koina only the pnimi. Kona, that works. That of course works. Liknoi oy soy v'es achitzein. Kona shnayan. Then in fact he would be koina both. What's the reason why he wants to be koina? Why? would he be able to be kind of both? He's only making in property A and not in property B. How could he make a kinyan on both? Why is this different than the two sadais? So I think everybody understands why this is different. Because since the panimi has certain rights to the chitzen property, what are those rights? The right of way to be able to go through at any time. He has an encumbrance, a lien on that property to be able to go in and out. So therefore, the property that belongs to the panimi, he owns property plus. He owns the panimi property and certain rights and easements on property B, the chitzen property in which he's able to go through at all times. Oh, if that's the case, since he has rights, then for certain purposes, for our purpose, says this man Diyamar, the two properties are considered to be one. So that if he made a kinyan in the panimi, it also be koine the chitzen. However, if what he's doing in the panimi is only having in mind like Mrs. Chitzen, then after panimi loy kana, to go and say that the chitzen rights are secondary and adjunct to the property of the panimi, the property rights of the panimi, that makes sense. So if you have in mind the panimi and you do a kinyan in the panimi for both, you're koine both. But to do in the panimi and only have in mind for the chitzen, that doesn't work, and you're not koina either chitzin nor the panimi kodesh.
Why would you have to be koina the panimi if it's yours already?
No, we're talking about it doesn't belong to him. These are referred to nechsi, the person wants to be koina, okay. Both the inside and the outside. Amram Nachman Amar Bavur. Haboina palterin gedoyim nechsi again. Now this Gemara is somewhat counterintuitive. Person has it, there's an empty field that belongs to nechsi ager, and that person wants to be koina it. What does he do? He builds a palatial estate on that property. Big, big mansion. Looks beautiful. Puts a big sign on it. Trump Tower. A big, big thing. However, the first person didn't put a dalis. It was open to anybody and everybody, and to the animals, and to the climate, and to all things. It's a beautiful palace, but there are no doors. Oh, gesundheit. And the second person came, and he put on doors. Who is koina? The second guy is koina, not the first one. The first one person invested $1 million. The second guy bought these cheap doors at Home Depot twice for $100. He's koina. My time, because kama livni ba'almuhu da'af. The more using the expression. All he did was etz kedrait with livni with bricks. He attacked upon the bricks, and the bricks are very nice, and there's tall bricks, and there's a wall, and it's a Mexican wall, and all the rest. But it's not effective. Because there's no delis to it. Without a delis, you can't have a house without doors. So, that is not a chazaka kinem chazki inchi. When does it become a chazaka? When you're able to live in such a house. When do you live in it if you're able to put up the doors? Oh, so that is the clincher, is putting on the doors, and that's why he would be crazy.
This is the deal.
Oh, givaldik shah. Wonderful. It's an open and shut situation. Okay. Amr Abdimi Bar Yosef Amr Ablasim. What happens if there was a pre-existing home b'nichse hager? Now, how do you go and show your balas, your ownership? When you have an open field, we already said, no god or parat, rafik baporta. But if you already have an existing house, what do you do to go and show that you're the owner of the house? So says the Gemara, if you're sod behen siud echad, or kiur echad, konan. If you drew, plastered on one of the walls, we'll see not any one wall, we'll see in a moment, but if he went and made various tzirim, such ornamental designs on the side of one of the walls of this palterin, with that alone, he was koined because he improved it and made it more livable and making it more nicer design. The kama, but how much? If you just go make a little tzir of a kiyot of psakleinikait, he also has to be at least an amma, a decent shear, so that it's noticeable and discernible that this person has improved the property by making this nice designs on the wall. And Amar Chizu Kenegad HaPesach, it's also got to be that when you walk in, you see it immediately, and therefore it stares you in the face, and then you say, oh, who did this? It looks so nice and so pretty. That shows ownership. So what happens if you make it anywhere else in the house that doesn't show ownership? Says Rishbam, that also works, but then it would have to be more than an Amar. You have to make two amas, three amas. In other words, something a dovah choshev. But if it's as soon as you come in and you see this amma of the seer and the kiyur, that already makes an impression, and that's similar, parallel to the halacha that we have that if a person builds a brand new home, that he's supposed to go. I'm sorry. He's supposed to leave it unpainted in amma where you come in, that'll unpainted, unplastered, etc., so that it should be a zeich lecharm. So why dafka kineged Pesach? Because that makes an impression. Somebody comes in, hey, what's going on? You forgot
right
to go. So you see it right away. See, it's the same idea with the seed and kid. You see it right away as you enter in. And that's the shear of an up. Kineged Pesach. What to Amar of Amram. Haimilta Amalon Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes told us the following halacha. Vanirinu Einin Mimasnisa, and he lit up our eyes from the following brisa. Why does the Gemara use this fascinating expression that Rav Sheshes lit up our eyes? Because as we know, Rav Sheshes was a Saginar. He himself, unfortunately, could not see. So don't think, a blind person, what can he do? What can he show? The Gemara is saying emphatically, and the Gemara is saying in a very beautiful, poetic way, that a person can be blind and still light up the way for other people and open up their eyes, even though never his own eyes are, Rachmon Litzlan, closed. So what did Rav Sheshes enlighten other people's eyes? He said the following halacha. Omer of Amram, hay milta omer Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said the following halacha. Hametzia matzois benechzi ager, kon. A person who went into the nechzi ager, for instance, a house, and he went and put down matzois. Matzois are like rugs or mattresses, something on the floor. He's koiner. Now, how is that koiner? Says Rishbam, and we'll see in the Gemara in a moment that we have to learn the part of the Rishbam, that it's not only that he spread out the rugs or the mattresses on the floor, but he lied down on those rugs, on those mattresses, and therefore he had hanoah now from the floor of this property. It's not that just he put out rugs or carpets, but he lied down on them, and he went to sleep, he rested, and therefore he had benefit from the property itself. Now, where do I find this, a remise to this, or a support for this from a brisa? Banarinu, Aiden Masisa for the following brisa, mate. What's that brisa? The son of Melinda, the brisa. And now we're leaving fields and houses, and now we're going to Avodim. Keitzim b'chazak, how can a person be machzik in an eved? You're not going to be no al gorda uparatz koshu. So what are you going to do with an eved? No aloy min aloy oy hit aloy min aloy oy shahidach kelev achol abeis amerchetz vefshita verchitzai sochay garde vel bishav en ilay veg biay konat. Meaning, if you show that this individual is your servant, your slave, how is he servant or slave? Because he does the types of service to an owner that a slave would typically do. No alay min alay, he went and fastened his shoe. Or hit alay min alay, he took his shoe off. Or shoylech kelev achol beis merchetz, he was his shamus that he went and carried his begodim to the beis merchetz, to the mikveh, to the bathhouse. Vivshitoy, if he helped him take off his clothes. Vechitzoy, he helped wash him. Sochoy, he smeared him with oil. Gardai means that he combed him, he brushed him. Vilbishoy, and he put new clothes on. Vin Eloi, and he put his shoes on. Rishbam says this Vin Eloi is somewhat redundant because we already said no aloi min aloi. So Rishbam says, Eina Chanami, but we're going geseder halbosha. Then he clothes him, he puts on his shoes, etc. So Eina Chanami, it wasn't necessary to repeat this again. Or Vigvi, or he picked him up. We'll talk about this picking up in a moment. In all of these cases, it's Konak. So what does this have to do with putting out matzois penechsei hager? Says Rishbam, that just like by the servant, the slave, working for you, he's mahana you with his masim. How does he benefit you? By helping you out and putting on your shoes, taking off your shoes, carrying your stuff, etc. So you have anor from him. Here too, if you lie down on this rug that you put down on the floor, you're having hanoah from the shimush bekarka, and that's how you are koina the karka. So he's nena gufa merakarka. If you see Rishbam, that 10 lines to the bottom, he tzia matzois. So Rishbam, it's not enough putting down the rugs. The shoch of shomalakarka, you also have to lie down. The next thing, here, kono. The avagam dloi hainu noa goda parat. Shloi tikin shim tikin mekarka, he didn't make any tikkun. Ela shenena gufa merakarka. Shim shosei akarka bechazaka. The fact that the karka was a mishim. Him. It gave him hanoah, it benefited him. But where did you find this? So skip now to the next Rishbam. We learned it from the Brayis of Ketim B'Chazaka, Evik Kanani, Dittnami Kiddushim. Next Rishbam, No Aloy, Oved L'Raboy, I'm sorry, Eved L'Raboy, No Aloy, Eved L'Raboy, Shishimish Eved L'Raboy, Havi Chazaka. Even though he also didn't prove the goof of the other, he only gave him a shimush, he helped him out. Chikul, Avitzi Matois, Shishimshosi Akarka Kona. So here it's not a case of no al god uparetz koshu. It's not that he improved the property. It's partially the shimush. The shimush by an evidence kaina. The shimush similarly by a carcass also kaina. Good. Now we're going to focus on the last two words, the bi'oi kona. So the pasha of the bi'oi kona means that the eved picked up the rabbi and he transported him from place to place. And from the Rishbam, as we'll see in the Gemara's Mashma, it's dafkin in such a case where he's helping him out. most people, if you carry them in the street, that's not a chazokik and mechaski inchi. In fact, most people say, please put me down, I'm scared, I'm going to fall down. Like all the chasanim, when they pick them up by the chasanis, they're all holding onto the chair for dear life. They don't want to fall down. So that hagbor l'chayr is not koine. If anything, he's just causing him anxiety. So what is this koine? The Gemara will explain about it. It's Omer Reb Shimon. So it's Reb Shimon. Loite chazaka gedoyle mi agbar. A chazaka cannot be a greater or stronger king than agbar. Shagbar koine b'chamok. Agbar is koine everywhere. What does he mean that it's koine everywhere? It doesn't mean that you can be koine karkois with agbar. You can't be magbir karka. What he means koine b'chamok means that it helps not only in the rishus of the lokeach, but even the rishus moicher, and even the rishus rabbim, and even in the simta, wherever you go, wherever you come, you can be koine b'hagbar. Meshicha, you cannot be koine in the rishus of the moicher. For instance, if a person is chas v'shalom maganef and he's stealing from the owner, if he's moishech, if he schleps the thing on the ground, he's not koine with kinyone gzeila until he leaves the property. Exactly. Mashenkein, if he picks it up, then he's already koine in the rishus of the nignav, because hagbah is koine b'chol makom. So therefore, hagbah is a stronger kinyon in a sense, it's a greater kinyon than the kinyon of chazaka. And therefore, says Reb Shimon, if chazaka helps, hagbah certainly helps. But now the question is, why is Reb Shimon being so emphatic when the Tanakhama already said the same thing? The Tanakhama said, Vigbiyoi konai. So Reb Shimon said, yeah, it cannot be that Hagbah is less than Chazaka. If Chazaka is koina, Hagbah is koina. My dear Reb Shimon, with all due respect, the Tanakhama also said, Vigbiyoi konai. So my Kama, what is Reb Shimon adding to the equation? Everything Gemara. The Tanakhama is talking about that the Eved picked up the rabbi, and then he is kind of. Reb Shimon is talking about, and he continues on, he'd be a rabbi, loy kind of. If the rabbi picked up the Eved, he's not kind of. The Eved picking up the rabbi, he gives him a shimush. Now, here the Rishbam points out, what's the shimush? Four lines from the bottom. He'd be a Eved, the rabbi, he's looking at Rishbam, keep going. Show you tzorech l'agbah, so he needed the agbah. Keep going, loy se l'mitosoy, to go and be malam on the mitah. Even by Haman and Mordechai, we just had now on Purim, that Mordechai said he cannot reach the top of the sus, so then Haman had to go and bend down, and he used him as a step stool to get on top of the sus. So you see that if it's too tall, or you're too shvach, or whatever, you need someone else to give you a hand, so he acted like a ladder or a step stool. So here too, that's the shimush of the Eved. Not that the Eved is going carrying him, but the Eved raised him or elevated him by bending over. That's what we're talking about, which is behind the etc. So here too, if the Eved picks up the rabbi to help him out to be able to get onto the sus v'rechav, etc., or onto the mitah, like Rishbam says, then you coin it. But what happens if the rabbi picked up the Eved? So the Tanakhama, look on it, that's, you know, you're not coining an Eved by picking him up.
Moshe picks up all the Levium in the Torah.
And therefore that could have been.
It demonstrates that they're now being...
He was coining them?
It looks like they're the shame.
I don't think they belong then to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's elevating them.
The shame is the shliach for, you know, for...
Every time you take a carbon, you also have to go and be Moshe Chamavri, you have to pick it up. Not that you coin it, that's a symbolic act to go and elevate. So if you marry it, so that was a Tanakhama, he'd be a rabbi loy, kani am Reb Shimon, meaning that just like the rabbi can be koine the Eved through all the chazokas that we just had, etc., the rabbi can be koine through hagbah if the rabbi picks up the Eved, just like when the Eved picks up the rabbi if he picks up the Eved is also koine. Another two, three lines. Omer of Yemi Bra, Omer of Yuda, Haiman the Shoda, Lifta, Bei Pili de Ara de Ger, Loyava Chazaka. What happens if you have a Soda that belonged to a Ger, and the Ger passed away, and there were no Yorshim, and this person wants to be Koine, instead of doing a Rafik Paporta, Noah God of Paratz Kolshu, there were cracks, crevices on the land, and he went and poured in some seeds into those crevices. Or in our case, Heshoda Lifta. Lifta means a lefis, means a turnip he put it into the land. And the purpose of that was, of course, that the turnip should become great again. It should become a big turnip tree, or not trees, but a turnip crop, or bush, or whatever comes out from turnips when you put it into the land. So if that's what he did, he threw the lefus into the peel of the ara, the ger, lo yav chazak, this is garnished. Why not my time? The in the shod, lo yav shvach. At the moment that he threw the lefus in, nothing's going to happen. The land is going to be just as inferior as it was before. It's not going to become great again. When will it become great? When subsequently this lefus will grow, and therefore there will be an improvement, if you will, in this property. The property is worth more. There are lefuses, or lefusois, which are growing on the property. That's not going to happen now. That's going to happen in a month from now, or 3 months from now. That's the name of Koshavach. At that time, he's not doing any action. So he's not doing any action. He would not be koina with throwing the lefus into the crack.
The result is a direct result of his action of putting in the lefus.
See, what Imar is saying is, if the person would have done the planting and the fertilizing and the mashke and all the rest, and then harvesting is one thing. Just throwing the lefus into the ground, that's not a chazaki the mchaski inchi, because at this time he's not doing any, no change, and later on, whatever change happens on its own, and therefore he's not koina.